Welcome to Unguarded Podcast. I'm your host, Jory Davis. We are back with a new season, but something a little bit different. We have unguarded phone calls. It'll be me and my co-host, L'Oreal Gamble, just calling, checking in with a few people, players, player agents, player consultants, player everything around the business and those that are still playing. We'll touch upon all topics, current events, and this time, try to get a little bit deeper, a little bit more unguarded. I hope y'all enjoy this intro episode. Also, we did a special combo, and our first guest on call one would be Ike. Y'all remember Ike from the last season of Unguarded. And so we're going to bring back a lot of guests, but this is going to be very chill. Sometimes I might be on the couch. Sometimes the other person might be in Subway. But it's on the go, it's very raw, and I hope y'all enjoy this new twist we're doing with the Unguarded Podcast presented by WeVolve. Remember, follow WeVolve and the community can stay up with us. We're building a members-only platform that allow us to be the talent and the executives of our career. Stay tuned, stay with us, support us, like, share, anything is going to help us get this thing to every player possible. Hope y'all enjoyed the first episode, and stay tuned. You miss what you don't shoot. I'm 100%. It's real in the field. Don't come off that bench. How you raise your gun before you raise your fist? But how you raise your fist before you raise your voice? You ain't a man, you a boy. Damn what you heard. Gotta speak up. Rest in peace, my niggas lost their voice. I've been trying to cut back. I got a drink in my hand. I've been trying to stack up. I need more paper down. I've been trying to spend time with my immediate fam. But they don't never pan out. Swear they don't know who I am. I was raised in a church. No, I don't go no more. See, I gotta find God. For myself, you should know. That's why I quit that job. I gotta work for my own. I gotta pull my own load. I gotta build me a home. Motherfuck being broke. Damn, this shit is depressing. And I just got work. My ex-girlfriend pregnant. And I feel indifferent. Not cause I'm jealous. You should know I feel indifferent by the lot of shit. What's up with you?
Man, tired. But you know, here. And I had my coffee this morning. So I'm good for another couple hours.
Oh yeah, I forgot it is morning around your way. It's evening here. But we here. First episode, bruh.
Finally.
I was like, look, who can I get? I was like, I need a co-host so I can talk my stuff. I was like, let me see right. What L'Oreal up to. You know, she got a different perspective now. I was like, let me see if she down to let's do this unguarded thing, switch it up. So
yeah, I'm down because I need some adult conversation in my life these days.
How is everything? Season, you know, now it's a new season. Another little one. You had a baby in Italy. So you had two overseas, right? Two of them you had.
Yeah, France and Italy. Mm. So now that Julian is in Spain, solo parenting is a beast and it's nonstop. Right. So yeah, he's busy. He's trying to stand up and keep up with his brothers. So right. Like, I'm constantly like, oh, I'll be right back. I gotta get him because he wanna climb the stairs and just do everything.
Yeah, he gonna be walking in no time following those two. For sure.
Facts. I bought a little walker yesterday and he's walking in the walker already. And I'm like, how do you know how to do this?
Right. Cause when they have older siblings, they move fast. They move fast. But yeah, I mean, that's why we were trying to make this thing where I was like, look, you take your time because I can't say a thing to get on this call, but we're going to figure it out.
Right. And sometimes it's so hard to plan because as prepared as you think you are, something unexpected always happens.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, again, you know, for me, I'm doing the entrepreneur thing, starting while playing. And I'm like, shoot, you doing it. And for me, it's hard to balance. You know, these teams are so unorganized. I can't really make my schedule or individuals who are professionals trying to do a schedule, I'm like, look, I'm sorry. I don't even know my schedule for me to make the plan. So I'm like, for you, you a full-blown mom and now entrepreneur.
Yeah, facts. And I'm ready for that to take off. But, you know, I'm being patient because the business that I started, it comes in seasons. You know, everybody's not always looking for that help. It's just like the summertime and then around Christmas and the holidays is when people really start needing help. But I know it's going to come because I've been doing this for years. And now that it's a business, it's just like, okay, be patient because it's coming.
Right. Again, I know even like Carlin Brown, who doing point advising and stuff for me, it's kind of like a learning experience because it is a, you're making it a business, but you know, a lot of people want advice for free. A lot of people want certain things for free. You know, what's been the reality since you've started that you kind of realized that you didn't realize before? You know, when you were just doing it, you know, everybody hitting you up.
Facts. I feel like, you know, when I was just doing it, I was, oh, let me just hit up Lo because maybe she knows something. But still just doing that. And I'm like, look, this is my business now. If you would have hit me up a month ago, or 2 months ago, you know, I would have helped you out, but now I can't. And it's just like, dang, you can't do this. Now that I'm official, you got to respect my craft. And it makes me appreciate other people's businesses even more.
Right. From that standpoint, I was wondering, because, you know, I've been messing around for a while now and learning, like, you know, when you first go in, you're like, man, is everybody else? Athletes need this, this, this. But you realize so now it's like, shit, we part problem.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. With my business, it's just some stuff people just don't know.
Right, right. Well, it's also a thing, I think, like, the key element is just needing mentorship.
Yeah, that's it.
And just advising.
For sure.
Again, it's how you figure that price point out. Like, that's the hard part. And I know it's been hard for a lot of people in that space. But what was it that led you to start yours? Because, you know, I'm not going to lie, you know, my place in the market is I'm constantly trying to validate people. And, you know, I've realized that everything that's built by athletes ain't always for athletes. That's what I'm really realizing, because some athletes, they're human. And you got shady athletes, you got legit athletes, and you got those, you know, like, I'm learning, because at first I was truthfully like, athletes. And I had to realize, well, shit, athletes are human, just like any other business, you know? So it's like, all right, now I have to look at everybody as a human. I can't just say, oh, you played, I'm rocking with you. No, because there's people out here moving sideways. From your perspective, like, what was it that really made you say, I'm gonna do it? Like, was it truthfully that realization, like, I need to move, transition, and this is what I'm gonna try to do? What was it for you of why you kind of said, I'm gonna do this thing?
To keep it a buck, I did not want to do this. My mom is an entrepreneur and she has an entrepreneur's mind with everything. And she was like, Lori, there are consultants in every field. So she was like, you've been giving this advice to athletes and moms and wives on how to travel and what to do for this and this and this. She was like, you should start getting paid for it. And she presented me with this idea 2 or 3 years ago. And I was like, I don't think I want to do that. I don't mind giving out advice. You know, I'm so accustomed to just helping people or whatever. It's just like, I think you should do it. So at that point, I was about to start my master's. So I was like, let me get my master's out the way. And that was basically me just BSing and putting it off because I didn't want to do it. But then, like, my master's program was coming to an end and I was about to graduate. And she was like, so what about this business? Like, you said, let you get your master's out the way. 2 years later, here we are, you about to graduate. And I'm like, damn, you know, like,
right.
She on my neck. I don't know, like, I really started to realize that information is valuable. And if you really want some information or you need some help, people are willing to pay for it.
Right.
And the information that I can provide you is valuable at the end of the day. Because like I said, it's just some stuff you don't know. And based on crazy basketball experiences that I've had, I'm sure you've had, people want to know stuff like that so they can either avoid it or expect it and be prepared for how to handle it. I was just like, all right, well, let me lock in. And, you know, Julian, he was just like, I think you should do it. I think it's a great idea. So ultimately, the support kind of pushed me to do it too.
Right. I mean, for me, of course, my goals was different, but I know so many people say be an agent and do this. And it was just like,
yeah,
you know, it's different when you want to charge somebody because you know how bad they need it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, it's difficult. And I've struggled with that with WeVolve, because for me, what I'm building is like, okay, I'm building something, but also people like, well, you can be making this money while you're doing that.
Facts.
And it's just hard. It's a hard transition. But also when you get across those players that you know, just wasting your time. And that's when you say like, see, now that's why I need to charge y'all, because y'all wasting my time.
Exactly.
So and I look, need to get
I
something
ain't got
for
time.
This. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people in the space I've learned that, you know, doing consulting, but also not doing it right. Not really, you know, if you're going to consult, you have to make sure you have the player's best interest. But what I learned is, you know, like, well, how do you feel about not being compromised? You know, because as a consultant, you're going to have to talk to the agents, talk to other people, because that's what's going to ultimately make your business valuable. Have you gotten to that stage yet? Or are you still dabbling into that?
So I talked to an agent, right? And I was like, I'll just pitch it. I was like, you know, what do you think about this idea? Because I know a lot of your players have wives, and this is just me assuming,
right,
that go overseas with them and ultimately need some help. And, you know, they're relying on their significant other to help them. And some of the information is just not available. The man might not know. And the agent is like, well, a lot of my players don't even take their women with them overseas, and girl, busy, and you know, just basically shoot me down.
Yeah.
Like, what?
They don't want to, like, spend really, no money. They don't want no extra money coming from the
right. And I'm like, so basically I felt like the agent, he don't want his players taking girlfriends and stuff with mm-hmm. them overseas. I mean, some cheaters out here, right? Okay. But people really have families and they want their kids and stuff with them. But in order for them to go with the player, I think that the family needs to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And I had to tell the agent that, like, if you want your player to really be successful and enjoy being overseas, like, there are some things that some players require. Like, I need my kids with me. I need my girl with me, whatever. And for their women to be happy, they need to be comfortable.
Right.
So that was me saying, like, you know, give me some inside scoop on what you think about this idea. And he basically just shot my whole business down. So I had to just move on from him, because I know the reality of the situation, because I've been on both sides of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had Julian with me when I was playing and traveling and everything, it would have made life easier to come home to somebody and be
right.
able to talk to them instead of sitting on, you know, in your room, getting on FaceTime and talking to somebody. It's just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need a hug and not just a, hey, you doing
right.
okay?
Right. I mean, and that's what do lead to stuff happening. Like, it ain't,
exactly.
And sometimes people heart not even really in the bad place. It's just like human need.
Exactly.
You know, they think, oh, bringing the girl is distraction, when actually it's not. And if that girl
right.
is actually comfortable and finds something else that she can do, then she isn't a
right.
distraction. It's tough. It's a new space, because, you know, not
mm-hmm.
that many have offered this type of service. So I think it's something new.
Right.
It's something new.
Right.
But also I think, you know, it goes back, as I'm always preaching, you know, it's a unity thing, because they're not going to
mm-hmm.
ever want anyone to have a say or anyone to change the ideals of a player, because right now
right.
they are the source. They're the ones that players
exactly.
feel they need. So it's going to be an uphill battle, but I know on these calls, we gonna dabble in a little bit of that and everything. But what are you looking to dig into? Like, so now you are going into the business side. Of course, things start to look different than when you're just talking to players. You know, what are you looking to just kind of get from the phone calls? What type of people you want to get on these calls for these unguarded sessions?
I keep it real. You keep it real. And ultimately on these calls, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the glitz and the glamour and
right.
the what people think is a reality for us, and it's not.
Right.
You right. know, like when girls ask me, like, can you help me like get overseas? Like, I'm trying to do this. I really want to play overseas. And it's like, why? Why?
Right.
Because what you think it is, 9 times out of 10, it is not.
Right.
I'm not one to shoot down somebody's dream, but I'm not going to tell you false information either. Mm-hmm. Like, one girl asked me, this happened some years ago, and I didn't think that she was built for overseas, talent-wise or personality-wise, because right. she liked to hang out and, you know, she's very, very social. But she's also a guard who can score. But, you know, guards is easy to find
overseas. A lot of us, and they're going out right. of that, like, it's changing now, truthfully,
right?
Like, they don't want right. they want three, four, fives now. That's what yes. it is,
right? I'm like, you know, what makes you different from me? And I've been overseas. Why should I sign you and not go with somebody who's been overseas already? So she, you know, she's telling me, like, I want to go overseas, and I'm like, okay, so when you go overseas, are you prepared to not come home for Christmas? Mm-hmm. She's like, no, I'm coming home for Christmas. I'm like, no, you ain't. If your coach say you can't go, what you gonna do?
Right.
Cry. And that's just how it is. So that's what I need. I didn't have anybody to ask questions about overseas with. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you should go play overseas. I think you would do good. And it was like, all right, yeah. It's pro, so fine.
I mean, the question though is, why young talent not asking? Like, it's right. a, you know, I've been thinking of it as like more of a psychology type thing, like figuring out why. Because now there's a lot of us out here posting stuff like that they could easily. Now there's a few that are yeah. open and they say, hey, I need help. Like, I got yeah. a rookie right now. And the team in Lafayette, and it's like, man, why you ain't hit me before? Because everything right. you saying is known about the coach, about yeah. the status of the team, the money issues. Yeah, it looked EuroLeague, but that don't mean you gonna succeed in that EuroLeague because of the trash. Because you exactly. can't flourish in no trash. So regardless nope. of it looked like an opportunity, and it's like, why you ain't hit me before? And I know you're more attached to like that younger generation. It's just like, why they don't mm-hmm. ask? You know, that's right. the first, they wait till it's too late.
Exactly. But I don't even know if they know to ask. I think they think it's going to be like the WNBA. Mm-hmm. And it's far from that.
And that
far
got their problems too. That
exactly. that you don't even know about, right?
Yeah. Right.
But like, I'm telling girls, you could very well be the only person on your team that speaks English. Are you ready for that? And they're like, what? Like, yes, this yeah. this type of stuff happens. You might not get paid. You might not have Wi-Fi as soon as you get to wherever you're going. And that's the first thing you need is some dang Wi-Fi.
Right.
Because if you ain't got no Wi-Fi, you can't talk to nobody.
You just sitting in that bitch like.
I want
to
go home.
You mad as hell trying to get your agent, like, bro. And he like, you know what your agent at? In his house, comfortable. His agent fee on the way in a month. He going to tell you, get through it.
Fact.
And his job is to just let you talk and say, it's okay, I'm going to call. That's it. And you're going to be stuck miserable.
Right. So it's and like, if they fly you in on the weekend, it's even worse because stuff is closed. They fly you in on a Saturday.
With that water and bread in the fridge. Sunday. Cheese, water, and bread. You ever got cheese? Okay. Like, how many times I pull up to a team, they got water, bread, cheese, or maybe like peanut butter jelly. That's what they've had for me before.
Look, some teams try to give you a little spaghetti, but it's just like a tomato sauce and noodles. And it's just like, you be okay? This is not okay. What the hell is this?
It's crazy. I mean, and I think I agree with the calls. I want it to be where it's the reality, but also understanding the possibility and the good parts of it. Because if you come in because you think it's, like a WNBA and I'm going to make money and the glitz and glamour, then you come in for the wrong reasons because you're going to be disappointed. There's Absolutely. Other things that you gain from it. And if you are that type of person, then you're going to enjoy it. Not to say you're not going to ever be annoyed, because trust me, there's never no best place in the world. It's always something.
Always.
So a lot of the platforms out there is just putting on things that get likes.
Right.
But that ain't the truth. Even the WNBA players, some of them, if you see how they over here sometimes, you will be like, what? In this new generation, the ones coming out of college with 50K followers, I'm like, I can't wait to see this.
Fact.
Hey.
You say hey?
Looking just say like hey, your daddy.
Man.
That's crazy.
I ain't do nothing. Okay. But have him and grow him.
Seriously. All right. Let's get to some of these current topics. Well, first of all, let the people know. Me and Lo, we gonna hit up people and have open conversations, like we on the phone call with them.
Yes.
Bring up some stuff, see what they say. We give our spiel and just go from there on different topics, current events, but also things we think is important to talk about within the business. Last week, I think I sent you the first thing. I was like, I think everything kept popping off. So I was like, yo, what are we going to talk about on the first call? Because it's too much stuff. But
it's mad stuff.
The I Am Athlete podcast, since then, they didn't came out with three of them. But the one I sent you the clip of was him talking to one of the other football players. What's his name? I forgot his name.
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant. And Marshall was telling Dez Bryant, was like, yo, if you got something, I don't know about NFTs, but if I'm going to go invest in NFTs, I'm going to go with you. He was like, well, why we can't you do that? You know, and I think I'm always going off on Instagram about that, because it's always like, why we go to someone that's not transitioning or trying to do something and use our likeness to help them in life after, because we know the transition is hard. And the reason it's hard is because when an athlete that's been playing for a long time now goes to start a business to do something in the industry they've been in, they got to compete with non-athletes who've been building their business out of college and stuff. Like, do we not get that? That's the game. That's the challenge. That's why the training companies and all this stuff we start, it's because we're starting late. But our advantage would be if the community used their likeness, the current athletes use their likeness to say, I'm going with them.
Right.
I don't know if that message don't click. And I think that's what Marshall was trying to say. The Dez was like, that's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's your perspective on the things? Because I know I go ham sometimes looking at it one way. And it's like, you know, what's your perspective on that? Like, why can't we do that? Like, as he said, why we can't do that?
Why, Dez?
About to cry. What is wrong with bro? I'm like, I felt that. I was like, yeah, bro, yell it. Because I'm asking too.
I think one of the football players touched on it too. Like, in our community, we kind of just have this competitive nature about us to always be the best and not want to help other people get better. I think Dez was even saying, there was a guy in his neighborhood, they were always put up against each other, and that's just how they grew up. You know, it's like, I want to get to the top, and I'm going to just have to get there by myself. But we do have to lean on each other and grow together, because that's the only way our community is going to thrive as a whole. This has nothing to do with basketball. But when you see, like, the Latino community, Mexicans, they all go to work together. They work together and they all go home together. So they bring all that money home. But, you know, in our community, it's like, nah, I got more money than him. I want to have better shoes than him. I want all the name brand stuff. And it's just
the Latino Mexican communities. All of those that come to America.
Yeah,
they stick together. They live with each other until you can afford to get out the house. You know what I'm saying? And that's definitely just like the Black community, but we came front in basketball. We are the majority, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like everybody in this business, if you look around working together, I don't know. I mean, of course, that's been my thing, is from a psychological standpoint, understanding that, because that's why we losing. And of course, people don't see how we losing, but I look at it as the grand scheme of things, our businesses, what we do after, who gonna hire us. If we owned more shit, we can hire more people.
Exactly.
I don't know.
We just gotta change our mindset. If we changed our mindset first, things would be different.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. We got to get off, or at least we got to put the right stuff on social media.
Yeah. But you know what? I feel like with overseas fits showing more controversial stuff that players are going through overseas, like the stuff with my boy Malcolm Grant, it's putting more awareness out there and it's starting to bring that community together, because sometimes we think we're the only people who go through certain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you can't relate, then I can't even talk to you. But, you know, with his stuff that went on, the comments was like, what? Oh my God. And it's just like, yeah. Right. So if we put the content out there to change our mindset and get everybody on one accord, I think that's taking step towards bringing us together as a community.
Right. No, it's a step. It's a step. And I've had to challenge myself, because, like, you know, with overseas fits, you know, mm-hmm. for me, again, at one point it was like, you know, it's too much glamour. Who got it? Only 10% of athletes overseas got that money to be really wearing Balenciaga. Right. If we be real, you know, like, if the whoever, some people wearing Balenciaga, I know your salary and that should not be in your budget. So for okay. me, for me, you know, there's elements yeah. because sometimes it puts off a false reality. The reality is that's an issue in our community. Mm-hmm. You know, the reality mm-hmm. is the online shopping is a problem because we're using it as therapy and that's not healthy. Me too. I've been there, you know, so it's like, so let's talk on that. Let's talk on yeah. when you know, you feel that you like, I'm going to Bershka. About to go find me or something. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to go walk.
ASOS.
Just getting packages galore at home.
Okay.
Get home in the
and
summer.
They ain't wearing a dang thing.
It's ridiculous. So,
ain't
you know.
To go.
But the positive is, though, like the example with Malcolm.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's power in numbers and putting certain things out there. The next step is just like, what's the next action?
Right.
You know? Because social media is one thing, you know, even now with the Nigerian team, and even right. I know one of my former alumni, Olu, who runs track and field, like the Olympics, they had a big issue with Nigerian Federation. It's like, right. when you're going against these, the top people, you have to be strategic in how mm-hmm. you attack, you know, and that's the next thing is, like you said, it's a start. You know, and yeah. that's been something I had to check myself, because I'm always like, no, like that social media, one thing, like we need mm-hmm. to be strategic.
I mean, had he not put that content out there, that coach wouldn't have been dealt with. You know, mm-hmm. he would have still been doing what he'd been doing.
Right.
Because it was people in the comments. I saw a guy say like, yeah, he called me a nigga. What? So he'd been doing this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and somebody need to take care of that. Because he gonna call the wrong one.
And he gonna pop off on him.
And then it's gonna be some legal issues.
Right.
Facts.
Only a few, like, you know, not everybody, you know, we normal out here. But I know yeah. if you normalize us, then maybe people scared to feel normal. Mm-hmm. Some athletes, yeah. but overseas, like, you are a pro, you are playing mm-hmm. the game, but you also live a normal ass life. Sometimes you go to that cafe with everybody
boring.
Else, get a coffee.
Facts.
You take your macaron bag. You know, you ain't got no Nike sponsored bags.
Facts.
Spalding macaron, whatever they got over there.
Yes.
And you sure. normal. So it's like, what happens if we do that? What happens if people realize, especially overseas world, we normal?
I think it just takes the pressure off.
Right.
The girls here and the guys here see what we work hard for and bring home
mm-hmm.
because, like, here we have a house, we have a car, and now we ain't driving no dang Maseratis and Bentleys and stuff, but we have a nice truck, but we have 3 kids and we got 3 car seats, so we need space, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my husband is 6'9". I'm going to be the small one in my family. I could
yeah.
drive a dang Toyota. But a Toyota can't fit my family, okay?
Right.
So, yeah, we grinding and we working hard overseas. And granted, we might have a night out in Milan and, you know, you want to snap pics and you post it. But that ain't our everyday life.
Right.
So I think if we normalize, like, what's really going on while we're overseas, it'll take the pressure off of this perception that we give, like you said, that, okay, we're normal. because the girl athletes who come from the WNBA, they might be going out at home, but when they come over to Europe, they're not going out wearing Versace all the time and Louis and stuff. Like, no, they going to practice in sweat. They might wear some Jordans or whatever, just like everybody else. Like, it, or they posting old pictures that's been in their photo in their phone. Like, don't get it twisted now.
Facts. Shoot. Facts. I mean, but it's also like, you know, players, it's like, okay, do you know, you're building your brand, but yeah. I know that shit old. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so it's funny. I mean, I had the one picture I had on my IG with me in Greece, you know, I was like leaning in the bed.
On the
I was like, yo, should I post this, man? And then I was like, fuck it, I'm posting it. Cause this is how this is how I feel, you know, like this is a part of my photo dump. This was Greece shit. My bonnet on the house. That was the real, you know, so it's just like showing some of those pictures, but also like showing the unique life we do have, because it makes us more well-rounded humans, I think, being overseas, because we're exposed to so much.
But you best believe somebody was like, dang, Jory living a good life. She on the beach, she in the water. Like, man, I want to go overseas.
Yeah.
Like, bro, that was months ago.
Bruh, man, but I mean, I would. Greece is nice though. See, that, you know, your perspective, like, okay, you're gonna go deal with that, because you know, I was living in Vouglamini, and Greece is one of the most in Europe, one of the most expensive areas. So it's like, you do have an opportunity. I can't afford to live in that area by myself, but the team paying for me to live in this area, so it's like, that's some of the advantages. Like, I get to live a lifestyle and live in an area that I probably would never get to do solo, you know, and be by the beach and do those things. Like, that was good. Right. But also, like, I'm going to practice and I got to deal with all these other things, you know, the dynamics of the team. Like, those are the things that is like, if you coming over there for one thing and you don't understand the whole picture, you're going to be highly upset.
Crowds of people. Because he's tall, he's tatted. You know, we stick out like a sore thumb when we overseas, period. So I don't like when people stare, but there's just the reality of the situation. Right. Like, people know, like, oh, that's Julian Gamble. So just go do what you got to do, then go back to your place.
Right. But
ultimately, we got to enjoy the spots that we live in, because you can't get those times back.
Right. That is the difference between, I will say, the guys in. You know, I could walk around. People just think I'm, oh, this black girl, you know, where people know they athletes and they black, you know, it's different. Like, and I know for women, you know, that's that difference. Like, then also if you take a Caucasian woman athlete, then you really just blend in. So, you know, I told, you know, my business partner, Julie, who plays in Tarbes, France, you know, I was like, look, when you go out in the world, you exploring, you just
normal.
A normal person, and then they might say, oh, you're a little tall, do you play sports?
Right
But you can be out here and blend in and no one knows. That's the difference. So when now you add, now I'm black with dreadlocks, so now it's a little different, but I'm still normal height, a woman, so it's like whatever. But for the guys, they're targeting, you know, I really hope we can get somebody on the call, because I know there's been stories of clubs and stuff with dudes being hit with bottles, dudes, you know, dangerous things happening in the club because of, you know, it's like, it's a different world. So the dudes, I understand why they might stay inside, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's dangerous. You don't know who out here.
No, facts. I mean, shoot, when I played in Serbia, I was the only black person I saw for 5 months. I went to the club with my teammates in the city. Well, it's not even a city. They called it a village because that's how small it was. I was the first black person to ever... woman to ever go there. So we went to the club and my teammates had to make like a huddle around me just so I could get out, because people was trying to touch me and bump into me just so they could look me in the face. I was like, no, I don't want to live like this. This is too much. I went to the bathroom. It's like 7 or 8 girls waiting for me by the sink so they could take a picture of me. And I come out the stall and they're like,
that's crazy.
The heck is wrong with y'all? But they ain't never seen a black girl before. An American black girl.
Now,
you hear me?
I mean, there's just certain things I think, like, again, different people trying to make it all come together to change the culture overseas, but it'll get there. It'll get there. What else we had on the list to discuss on this,
man,
this call?
What didn't we have on the list? Oh, the WNBA fight on YouTube. Sad. Did I tell you that it's old?
They posted it.
Facts, but it happened 5 months ago.
Yeah.
A homegirl of mine, she was like, they posted it on YouTube to like talk about it, and now they're getting the negative backlash. And I'm like, see, that's what's wrong with social media. Like, you want to put everything up, but now you about to lose a contract. And nobody had even put your stuff out there when it happened.
It's just like, who told you it was a good thing to put that up? But also, it's like, again, that attention. Attention is a drug, and you pulling for that. So you put that up, why? To get more attention, to get what?
Mm-hmm. In trouble.
I mean, that's just crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. But the thing is, though, Courtney, an all-star.
I know.
The other player, she going to lose everything. Courtney All-Star, she going to be all right, probably.
The other player got cut from a team, though, already, right?
Yeah, she finally made her way there. She's been trying to get there, and she did, and now this happened. I don't know. It's a sticky
situation.
Social media
is a gift and a curse.
Sticky situation, because I know, you know, I was talking to my teammate, and she was like, the newspaper, one of the articles, you know, said, Griner threw it down, something like that. She was like, I went to see it, and she just kind of did a normal dunk, you know. But, you know, it's like, yes, we trying to elevate, you know, but also is there a fine line between doing too much to try and elevate someone? Like, where you start to over-exaggerate or let too much go. Just because you want something to be successful, it's also like, at the end of the day, this is life.
Yeah.
And like, it is what it is. We want to support, but you can't try to make something like, I don't know. And that could be me that is just too real, a little jaded, but it's like, WNBA red carpet ain't the same as the NBA red carpet.
Oh, you know, absolutely not.
The outfits and who working for them ain't the same.
Did you see the game last night?
I didn't see the game. I just saw the highlights.
First of all, Brittany Griner dunking in the finals WNBA game. Give her all the praise, because when has that been done? Whether she laid it in and then grabbed the rim on the way down. It don't matter.
I think Lisa Leslie ain't dunking in the playoffs.
I don't know if she dunked. I think it was just a regular game. Mm. But anyway, this girl spun baseline and dunked the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like a nigga. So... props to that, okay?
Right.
And then, you know, I appreciate so much the NBA players being there supporting.
Uh-huh. Right.
I think that was big for the WNBA. And not only just being there courtside, but like being involved on the court, like, yeah, cheering and stuff. That was huge for me. And you know, sometimes Chris Paul, he really gets on my nerves as a basketball player. But for him to be fully present in that moment, I have much respect for that.
No, it was real. It's big. And regardless, like you said, dunking in the women's game, more girls are dunking, is huge.
No, I don't know where it's coming from.
I don't know either. They putting something in the food. They say the food bad for us these days, but clearly it's not.
Okay, because shorties is like
they jumping.
Yeah, I need some of that.
No, but yeah, I mean, the NBA dudes pulling up and showing love is definitely a big thing. I think for me, again, I'm always just about behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah.
And like, you know, some players I know, especially WNBA, or when they come abroad, they act a certain way. And for me, that's always kind of been my issue, because it's like, I see you in America asking for this and want equality and all this stuff. But it's like, if that's what you believe in, then when you come overseas, you should act the part. If that's your value system and that's how you carry yourself, then when you interact with other people that aren't on your level money wise, because overseas you got some hoopers that can really do some damage to some WNBA players.
Facts.
If you believe in it so strongly and you on ESPN, then you should carry yourself that way when you're not in that world.
Agreed.
And so I think it's a balance in everything. And I think the more attention should be attention because of the game and that they deserve this, not attention because I got this clothes on and making it this whole ego-driven thing. It's all driven by ego, in my opinion, sometimes. And so that's the difference for me. It's like, is it driving ego and trying to create this brand of something that is not? Mm-hmm. Or are we really trying to help elevate the game and show the talent? That's for me, that's the imbalance. And I think, again, social media, sometimes it just be a lot of bullshit. And those in the game know what's real. We know what's real. We know how you really live. We know your Nike sponsorship sometimes is 500 euro. It's $500, $1,000. Okay. But you put the Nike sign. But people don't know the reality that for some people, now, of course, when you're talking the Dianas and stuff, their contracts look different.
Right.
But
she's in a category of her own. But everybody else, come on, we know the real.
Right. So for me, it's like, I don't know, like, man, this game, man, this marketing stuff, like, when that's gone, what do you have?
Right. That's ultimately the big question. What are you going to fall back on? Who are you outside of your jersey?
Because the brand, is the brand mostly the jersey or is it you?
Right.
Like, what's the percentage? What's the breakdown of your brand? Is it because you the best? Or is it like part personality, part fashion? Like, what's the breakdown of your brand? That should be something like, let's break down your brand. Why people follow you?
Right. Because it me, I want to make the jersey, not the jersey make me. Mm-hmm. We didn't hit everything.
Yeah. I mean, before we go, we can wrap up this intro, but I wanted to just, you know, hit on as we continue on the podcasting journey, just the misconceptions of being a mother overseas. And I know there's a number of them, of women overseas that are mothers and trying to build brands, trying to discover other things to do. Mm. But what's kind of the misconception? You know, because everyone look at Basketball Wives, and I even was like, should I say that? Like
a Basketball Wife?
Yeah, you know, like how does that feel being called a basketball wife? You know, but what's like the misconceptions that you've kind of come across now that you are a mother overseas?
Right. Well, first of all, I don't like how people think that all basketball wives wear heels and full face makeup and stuff to the games. Like, what? Heck no, I'm not wearing nobody's heels. I got three kids, 5 and under. You think I'm about to wear some heels? I ain't catching nobody if somebody run on the court. It's not happening. And then I don't know if all basketball wives understand the game, but when I go to the game, I'm really there to enjoy it and be invested in what's going on. It's not me just, yeah, I'm here, woo. Like, no, I'm cheering and talking trash too.
Right.
And we're not just trophies, just sitting there doing nothing, twiddling our fingers. Like, no, we have a lot on our plates as wives and mothers holding down the household while our guys are away.
Right.
It's a full-time job and it's a lot. You know, we got to cook and take care of the kids and have a clean house and make sure we're safe, because just like our athletes stick out, so do we. People know who Jay is before they know who I am because he looks just like Julian.
Right.
And, you know, people will try to give him a high five and be friends with him. And I have to teach him, like, no, these are strangers.
Right.
And you need to say, like, no, don't touch my hair. I'm not giving you a high five.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, tugging at the ego and everything of Jay. How do you teach him? Like, now you got to teach him, like, look, these people they're not for you right now. You know, how do you even go about trying to teach them that lesson that all these people right now are only temporary?
It's just really letting him know who's a stranger and who's not. Mm-hmm. You know, fans will be fans. And, you know, fans It's like, oh, I took a picture with Julian Gamble's kid, or they want to take a picture with Julian. And it's like, he can be in the picture. It's like, no, he can't because he's a child.
Yeah.
No, no, it's okay. You're right. It is okay. He's not.
Yeah.
And I said no. But I just have to tell him, like, to be safe, we don't want to talk to the strangers. Okay. They're fans of daddy's team. And he understands that. But I think also it carries over from home. You know, you teach your kids about strangers at home. It's the same way overseas. And then, you know, people are nasty. Fans, they be spitting and yelling and scratching their butts and stuff at the basketball games. Like, no, we're not touching their hands. We're not doing that. Because you're going to get sick. And with me now, it's like, if you touch somebody, you got to get a COVID test. They don't want to get COVID tested. So it just is what it is.
Yeah.
And if you don't listen, you're not coming to the game, period.
Right.
I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, like you already know the struggle we have solo as athletes,
right?
Maintaining our lives and trying to figure out who we can trust. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Taurus. I already got trust issues. I posted that the other day. I'm like, as an athlete, when you overseas, like, because you don't know, you know, you got teammates who trying to like say, are you okay? So they can get information to go back and say some stuff like.
Exactly.
Oh, you know, it's like you don't know who to trust. So it's like as a mother, and then when they go to school, like you don't know who might find out, oh, they go to this school. That's
exactly.
That's all those things.
See, that's why I don't, you got to learn what to post, what not to post, who you could talk to fully and who you can't.
Right.
Our circle is very small overseas. Right. And yeah, I've had to put some fans in their place before when it comes to my kids or when it comes to my own safety. Like, no, we're not doing that.
Right.
And I also think, you know, as a basketball wife, that's where the off the court stuff is important. You know, we have to have that, not be the head of the house technically, but we do have to be the head of the house because when the guys are gone, they're gone and this is it. You know what I'm saying? So people have to know, like, you know, that's Julian Gamble's wife. Don't do that.
Right.
Because I don't want stuff that we go through to affect him and then for him to have to get involved. Even though he will, you know, he don't mind, but he also knows that I can hold it down too.
Right. Which is key.
Yeah, because when I tell you I don't mind putting people in their place.
Right. But okay, not everybody like that. Not everybody like
you're
that.
Right.
So
you're right.
That might go back to why the agents don't be wanting them to come. Because it's like, are you ready to handle this crazy fan? Are you ready to handle?
Exactly.
He can't handle that. You know, so not everybody's like you. Because they might be looking for somebody like, oh, you are the man. You're supposed to handle this. No.
Right. And then, you know, people just don't. And I hate to say this, but it's a fact. I think Europeans just in general don't believe in personal space or privacy. And, you know, it's just like they, little gamble. And it's like, no. Hey, all right. That's fine.
Right.
And they'll be like, okay. Like, yeah, like.
Yeah, then they say it's, you know, that's the other part where they don't understand, like, there might be one fan that is super cool and you like, you know what? He's legit, but everybody can't get that treatment. So you have to, you know, they'll say, oh, they stuck up because they are this and this. It's like, no, like that's, you have to protect your family, you know, and that's the different world when you Julian playing, you know, on some of the top teams. So, you know, they have large fan bases compared to, you know, the women. Again, that's a different world. We don't have to worry about that as much. Like we have like more family. Little family fans, you know, that you know all your fans.
Exactly. It hits us different too because the same fans that are at the arena, you'll see in the grocery store or you'll see when you go out to eat. We were out, you know, you'd be out and about on a day off. We're in H&M and it's a group of girls following us around. Julian is not aware of this because he's just in the moment and he just doesn't see stuff like that. So I see these three girls and they're like but they're like following us around the store and I'm like, can you take a picture with these girls so they can leave us alone? And he like, what girls? And he turns around to look at them and they all go I'm like, come on so you can get this picture. Right. You're starting to get on my nerves. And he just like, I ain't even see them. I said, because you never do.
Yeah.
Because you're used to that.
That's where you're different though. Then you're a different breed. We gonna have to, you know, we gonna have to tap into that because, you know, like some will be like, oh, look, do you know them?
Right.
Who is that? Right. Who is that over there? Right. You know, some, yes. You know, and that's where the stressors come in, but the different personalities in the situation, the dynamics, you know, and you did who, it makes it totally different. You
it's
know,
completely different, right.
You know, side note, they need to go get the girls that hoop. Why they keep going get somebody who ain't never hooped before?
We gonna, you know what I'm saying? Somebody, day. Okay, please, because that is definitely a conversation in itself.
I'd be just, I don't even know. But anyway.
Me either.
We gonna touch upon it, but I'm excited for these calls. I'm glad we got the first one out the way.
I know.
We gonna have to figure out who our first guest gonna be.
For sure.
I'm gonna warm up a little bit. I'm probably gonna be the opposite of everything.
And look, and that's why the podcast is gonna be great.
Because, you know, I just be like, look, no, the underlining thing over right. The smoke is this. This is the real problem.
Right.
You know, I don't care what we talking about, you know, like branding, whatever. So, So no, it'll be good. And even if the baby's in the back, they just gonna have to deal with it because that's the reality. They want to be on the call. That's what the calls are like in reality.
Hey, facts. And I ain't nothing I can do about that, okay?
Right.
I wanted him to be asleep by now, but he ain't. So
I haven't even heard him, so.
Well, he went my babysitter now. She came, and now he's occupied.
All right.
He's occupied, right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, before we go, let everybody know your business that you're working on, what it's about, and we're going to exit this thing.
All right. So I am the owner of Crossover the Net Consulting. If you are a female basketball player, if you are a wife, if you are a mother, and you need some help adjusting to that overseas life, go to my website, crossoverthenet.com, and check me out. Hit me up on Instagram, Crossover the Net Consulting, and let me help you cross over the net.
Right. Because we know you're going to need it. There's so many things going to
so
it.
So many things, yes.
Definitely a big thing. So appreciate you, Lo. Until next time, we're going to figure out when we're going to be able to schedule it. Maybe we can get Malcolm on the call, talk for about sure. Agents, my favorite topic.
Man, that's going to be a long call, okay?
Talk about agents, coaches. Because in my opinion, it always starts meeting with the agent. Because that means an agent knew this man has been saying these things. Because they know the player's been telling them. So why is he? Well,
they why didn't it. He tell me? Right.
So they right. say they for us. But if you for us, that's 5 years you knew this. Did you report it? Did you say anything? No.
Of course not.
But again, we're going to leave that to the next call.
Yep.
Appreciate you.
No doubt.